Okay, John chapter 1. That is going to be time to find it. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Let's read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Some beautiful words, beautiful otherworldly words. And so today we're just going to carry on, kind of really finish off. We've been looking at what I call the story of God in the Bible, and we've looked really at the beginning of that. We've looked at the very beginning, the creation stories. We've looked at Noah. And so this really is kind of like the next couple of weeks, just wrapping up that using John's gospel. And a lot of what I've been teaching, I need to just let you know, there's one of my great heroes, theological heroes and teachers, and I dare say friend as well, is a guy called Philip Greenslade. So if you haven't read any of his stuff on this, and you want to know more, then I'd really recommend his book, God's Story, Philip Greenslade. A lot of what I teach from is really based in his stuff. So a book recommendation for you. If you're looking for a Christmas present for somebody, that's a good one. So we're starting. This is the beginning of John's gospel. Now, you may not know this, but each of the gospels starts before Jesus was born. Okay? So if you go in Mark's gospel, it starts with a prophecy from Isaiah, which kind of winds back, I don't know, 400 years or something. I can't remember exactly when Isaiah was now. Mark starts with Isaiah. Matthew starts with Abraham. That's going back quite a bit further. Luke really traces Jesus back to Adam. So that goes right back to the beginning. But John here starts kind of in the very beginning, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, he says. So each gospel starts before Jesus was born, but John tells us that Jesus was before Jesus was born. Jesus existed before he was born. Yeah? Let that sink in. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that's mysterious, isn't it? Yeah. I'm glad you think so. None of the adults would admit that, but they're all thinking it. Yeah? It's mysterious. So I'm going to clear this up. What's this thing? Why is he talking about the Word? The Word, as you read through the rest of John's Gospel, you discover that the Word is how John is describing Jesus. So you could say, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And that's, you'd think to yourself, why didn't you just say that? Why don't you just say that? Because that's relatively easy to understand, isn't it? In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. I mean, still has its tricky bits, but I think there's some reasons why John puts it like this, and some of it is to draw us into this mystery of who God is. So, if you remember, we've been looking at this, Genesis chapter 1. What does it say in Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I think John, as he's writing his gospel, as he's telling his story of Jesus, he's calling that to mind. He's saying, you remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm telling you something else. In the beginning was the Word. And it's like John is writing something before Genesis 1 happens. In the beginning, God created, it says in Genesis 1. But in the beginning, before anything was the beginning, was the Word, was Jesus. In the beginning, the Word was already there. There was never a time that the Word was not. There's never been a time when Jesus has not existed. And you remember in the beginning, it says, in Genesis, it says, and God said, let there be light. And God said it. God speaks creation into being. That's just the power of God. He speaks it into being. It's like John is telling us, though, actually, those weren't God's first words. Now, we're all very excited when a baby says their first words, aren't we? And we all want it to be, if you're a dad, you want it to be dad. And if you're a mum, you're kind of like, I've carried this thing for 9 months and you're saying it's dad is the first word. Yeah. And we're very excited about these first words. And it seems in the scripture that the first thing that God says is, let there be light. But actually, John is telling us that's not what the words of God were there from the beginning, from before the beginning. The word himself was there from the beginning. So you could say in a way that actually this bit, if you remember, when Bukumi was preaching on Proverbs 8, he hinted that Job may well be one of the earliest book written in the Bible. Do you remember? You all remember that, all the little subtleties. Yeah. Some people say that. Some people say, you know, some of the early bits of Genesis were written first. But actually, regardless of when, this wasn't written first, John, by the way. I mean, this was only written 2,000 years ago or something. But actually, this is definitely describing the oldest thing that we find in the scriptures, which is before the beginning was the Word. Before anything we could ever even know about, all this stuff, was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Sorry, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, the Word was with God. You might say, in the beginning, there was Son and there was Father. Before creation, there was Father and Son and Spirit. See, the thing is, in the beginning, God wasn't lonely. Can you imagine just sitting there for eternity thinking, what should we do? I don't know. What do you fancy doing today, son? And maybe one day they said, let's create some things. But before any of that happened, there was Father, there was Son, there was Holy Spirit. Never lonely. That's a nice sound. Okay. Never lonely. Always on call. Thank you. Shall I do that again? Never lonely, always on call. Thank you. There we go. So we talk about the Trinity nowadays. We understand this as Trinity. The Word, the Father, the Son, the Word, God, Holy Spirit, Trinity. And it says here that the Word was with God. Now, this is where Philip Greenslade came to his own. He revealed this to me. Basically, he's got a better grasp of the original languages. But in the Greek, which is what John wrote this in, with has the meaning of being turned towards. So it's not like they're just kind of like walking along the road together. But the Word was with God, meaning the Word was turned towards God, face to face with God. So right from the very beginning, eternally, the Father and the Son have been face to face. It reminded me of, you remember that icon that we looked at in the week of prayer, how God in Trinity, that's what that picture is describing, is they're turned towards one another, they're communing with one another, they're facing each other, they're in communion, they're in dialogue with one another. In the beginning, there was a community. I've said this before. In the beginning, there was community. Before anything was created, there was a community. There was a family. There was love. And that understanding is one of the most distinctive things about our faith. We worship a God who is love, because love is this relationship, this community. This is the Father and the Son facing one another. And you don't find that in any other religion. And sometimes, you know, I met an interesting guy on Friday night on a gig I was on. We got chatting. It's really helpful that I'm doing a degree now in spiritual formation, because people go, what's that? And I go, I don't really know. So it gets the conversation going, because I genuinely am finding out as I go along. But I said to Louise, I need to find a clear definition of what I'm talking about here, because I can't really describe it. Anyway, we got chatting about faith, and, you know, yeah, I've got faith. And didn't have time to go into this, but when people say that, it's like, well, what do you have faith in? What kind of God do you believe in? Because this is the God that we find in the Christian scriptures. It's not just It's not just a God that is, it's kind of one-dimensional. This is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit facing one another, relating to one another, loving one another. That's our God. And it's really important that we know that. Because remember back in Genesis chapter 1, this is absolutely amazing. Right back in Genesis chapter 1, before really anything was known about anything, it says, God says, let us make mankind in our image. So what image is that? Our image. Because you might even sort of say, well, that image, was there's a couple of characters, maybe two or three characters in this story, and we're making in that kind of image. But no, the image is that the Father and the Son are continually facing one another. There's that love. There is that companionship. There is that connection and that relationship. And when God says, let us make mankind in our image, that's the image there, not some dysfunctional family where everyone's arguing and bickering all the time and people are sort of throwing things at each other and sort of saying, I hate you, why'd you do this? You stood on my foot. That kind of thing. But in that image is who we're made in. The beautiful original relationship of God turned to one another. That's the image we're made in. And that's our God. All of this is our God. The Word was with God and the Word is God. And so as we understand our God, we understand that the Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God, and it's all God. And we'll never fully understand that. Yeah. You can ask that we've got some... What I'm going to do next year, actually, I've got several really good questions that people have asked. Ask the pastor, and I'm going to be talking about all kinds of things at the beginning of next year. Everything from end times to can I eat a halal burger? Okay, so watch this space. That's coming up in the new year. But if you ask me, can you explain the Trinity clearly? No, not really. I mean, this is as good as it gets for me, you know. But in the sense that this is all God. We in some way, you need to grab onto this mystery. And this is why I think he uses the word word for Jesus. Because we're not really going to get this really fully. Because it's so wonderfully mysterious and beautiful. And that's the image we're made in. It really expands the understanding of God. Kind of just thinking, oh, it's just the guy who made everything. Yeah? So, when we come back to understanding, because we were talking about the original creation stories that we've been looking at over the last, you know, few months, really. To understand those original stories of the Bible, rather than start Genesis 1, actually, I wonder whether we should start with this John 1, and set everything in context of before creation ever happened, this is the God that made it happen. The Word, Jesus, existed before everything. Now, when we talk about word here in John, the Greek word for that, I'm going a bit Greek today, sorry. You know, anyone got Greek food for lunch? Sort of compliment this. Maybe we should have organised a Greek lunch just to digest all of this. But the Greek word for word is logos. Yeah? Which means, yeah, have you heard that before? Yeah? Do you know what any connections? Ethos, logos. Ooh. Get these guys. Yeah, James is kind of... Uh-huh, yes, that's where we get the word logic from. Exactly, very good, very good. Yeah, so actually logos has this idea, it's like it's rationality, it's a rational principle, it's logic. So you could say in the beginning was logic, was the logos, was the rational principle. Now if you remember, Bakumni, he was preaching on Proverbs chapter 8, where in the beginning was wisdom was there in the beginning. It's almost like there's this kind of idea that actually this isn't, you know, in fact, remember when Daniel preached, he preached on Psalm 8 and he was talking like that basically you can see God's glory in creation. All of this holds together. The reason why scientists can do science is because the universe we live in works. Daniel can explain this better than I can, but all the science that Daniel understands, that some of it, only can happen because... Okay, well, some of it, exactly. But exactly, because there's so much to learn. But we live in a universe that you can understand because it works in a rational way. 1 + 1 always equals 2, usually, sometimes. Yeah? He's probably going to tell me it doesn't. But, you know, and things work because, believe it or not, we all have come from a rational logic word. Our Creator is the Word. And so everything has his stamp on it. It comes from his manufacturer. He's the inventor, he's the designer, he's the fabricator, he's the builder, he's the factory, he's the raw materials, he's the source of everything. And so everything exists, it has, everything that exists has Christ's like DNA in it in some way. Everything in creation has something to do with Jesus. I recommend it again. If you haven't watched it, there's a great video by Rob Bell called Everything is Spiritual. Really recommend it. Really recommend it. He goes into all this kind of thing. But basically, everything is connected to Jesus in some way. You know, the food you eat has its origins in Christ. The plate you eat it off has its origins in Christ. The bricks that make up your house have their origins in Christ. The heating system that keeps you warm has its origins in Christ. The sport that you play, believe it or not, if you play sport, has its origins in Christ. The music you listen to, there's something of Christ in that. The paper and ink you read your books from, you know, on the paper and in the books. How do you say that? Yeah. Paper, yeah. The stuff that books are made of comes from Christ. Yeah. The recycling bin that you put the newspaper when you finish reading it, it comes from Christ. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made, it says in verse 3. There's nothing, and maybe this is, we'll go to this with the halal burgers. You know, there's nothing that's off limits for people in Christ. Nothing's off limits. I'll explain that more maybe in the new year. Everything's spiritual in one way or another. And if we pause and wonder, we will see the fingerprint of Jesus in everything. Gainer kindly gave me a book, which I read the first page of this morning. Henry Nouwen, again, a guy, if you haven't read any Henry Nouwen, really recommend him. But it was an Advent, I'm a bit behind because I only got it the other day. But it's an Advent kind of like devotional. So I read the first one, I'm, 17, 18 days out of sync. But he's basically saying, just look for Jesus in the little things, in the little moments. And he described, and actually we were in I was in a traffic jam going up to London on Friday, and I saw this kid just spinning around, coming back from school, just dancing around on the pavement. And I'm sat in a car kind of thinking, am I going to be late? You know, I just thought, there's the joy of Jesus in that girl. And then she just span off around the corner, literally spinning. If we pause and wonder, we see the beauty of Christ all around us, in everything. Now, I'm not saying everything in creation is good or good for you, necessarily. Okay? I think we can agree. There's a fair bit of stuff out there that's been corrupted, been turned round. We see that in ourselves, right? And we see it in the world around us. But everything has its beginning, and everything will have its end in Jesus. Everything can be redeemed through Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So, we believe in God. But what kind of God do we believe in? It's this kind of God. Where we just get a hint at in this little bit of the beginning of John. This is our God forever, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is a God of relationship, a God of community, a God of family, a God of love. Is where everything comes from. And so as we sing in the song at Christmas time, oh come, let us adore him. And when we come to adore him, when we come to adore Christ in a manger, we also adore Christ who was there in the beginning, with God, facing God, who is God, and who we are made in his image, and who around us, all kinds of things. We see his DNA, his fingerprint in everything. What a wonderful God. He's not left us. In fact, he's come to us. And he draws us to himself, and he draws us to one another. Let's pray.